So yesterday we looked into how does God call us, my friends. Now let's look into how does he make all things work together for good. Colin Cook here, my friends, and the good news of How It Happens, this broadcast that deals with and explains and explores the gospel through the book of Romans. The good news, so that we have courage to move forward in this world, to get up and go when we've fallen down, to have courage when we go through all of the perplexities of life, and also especially when we struggle with addictions like drugs or alcohol or food issues or heterosexual or homosexual addiction. We want to be able to know how to intercede in these struggles with faith. That's what this broadcast does. It trains your faith, my friend. We are here to train your faith, not simply to inspire, but to help you to know how to use your trust in Jesus and our Father so that you can move forward. Now, we're looking at this incredible chapter 8 of Romans, and we're looking now, I'm going to look more deeply at, we know that all things work together for good. How does God do that? How does he work that out? Well, of course, we can't know all the answers. They must be multitudinous and billions of them at one moment. But we do have a few clues. Now, of course, there are some preachers and teachers that talk about the gospel without any context of the fallen world at all. They're always talking about prosperity and blessing and this and that and the other, and it's as if evil did not exist for them. I know that most preachers are not like that, but unfortunately some are. The fact is, my friend, that the gospel must be preached in the context of an evil world, and that is precisely what Paul is doing here. That is why he must speak about the freedom from wrath and sin and law and death, that the kingdom of the gospel has broken into the kingdom of this world. You see, evil is everywhere. It seems to be the stuff of life. Not only great cruelty and great sins against humanity and against God, but dreams that you've spent a decade or so in your life pursuing seem to be fading in your sight, maybe. Tragedies that have unexpectedly struck you, that have completely changed the course of your history. Disappointment from friends and loved ones, betrayals and letdowns, frustrated financial goals that have spoiled your visions of service to God and to your family. All kinds of things go on in this broken world. And how in the world can it be then that all things work together for good? Well, one of the great truths that we come out, that we find in the gospel and bring out of the gospel, my friends, is the fact that Jesus died and vanquished in that act of death the power of Satan. Sometimes we forget this. It is true that the death of Jesus has atoned for our sins. Jesus died on the cross to take humanity's sins and all of humanity's brokenness to the cross. Jesus died on the cross to reconcile us to the heart of the Father so that God takes our place and then brings us back home to his kingdom. Jesus dies to reveal the love of God. All of these facts. But Jesus is also, in his death, Christ the victor, which is to say that he vanquished the power of Satan at the cross. Now, Satan had dominion over all the world. When Jesus broke into the world and became the only human being, who ever did not come under the dominion of Satan, and that human being, Christ, being God among men, as a man, he created a new humanity over which Satan had no dominion. And this, of course, frustrates the hell out of Satan. He now has a human being walking the earth who does not come under his domain. And at the death of Jesus, the power of Satan was vanquished. There was a new humanity that was not under his dominion. Now, in the book of Revelation, it says that Jesus was crucified from the foundation of the world. In other words, the death of Jesus is retroactive to the creation of the world itself. And therefore, what we see throughout the whole Old Testament, as well as the New, is that demons and the devil himself are under the submission of God. That is what is incredible. Have you ever noticed that though the New Testament is rife, the Gospels particularly, rife with man's disobedience, not a single demon disobeys Christ in the Gospels? All are obedient to him. As disobedient and as rebellious they are, they know they're done for, and they cannot do anything but obey Satan, obey Jesus. You remember the demon that came to the demonic man who ran to Jesus and worshipped him and said, "What are you to do with us, you Son of God?" He knew, they knew, those demons in him, that Jesus was the Son of God. And so, you see, the victory of Christ has been accomplished. Well, does this mean that Satan has been removed from the earth? Far from it. I mean, I've told you many times that you and I, men, if we're old enough, have witnessed the worst and most diabolically evil century in the history of the world, the 20th century. More people were killed and slaughtered in that century than all of the wars put together in the last 2,000 years. It is a stunning fact and reality. We have seen evil on a mechanized and incredibly magnificent, evilly magnificent scale. And so, no, evil is not absent. But the truth of the matter is that evil is in subjection to the victory of Jesus Christ. Now, that tells us something. That is the foundation upon which we can say that all things work together for good for those who trust Christ and therefore love him. Because, you see, what God allows Satan to do, he only allows him to do in a way that will ultimately fulfill God's plan and not Satan's. Now, you've heard me express this before. I must tell you once again because it is worth remembering. So important it is. Who killed Christ? Well, of course, you can say Jews or you can say Romans, but we all know that it was humanity itself. And who was behind humanity? Satan himself. Satan stalked Christ at every step and finally inspired men who did not believe to destroy him. But who gave Christ for the sins of the world? God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How incredible, then, that God gave Christ to die for the sins of the world, yet Satan was the one who killed Christ. What we have in that great, the greatest, the center of our faith, my friends, is the will of Satan and the will of God clashing in the same event. The greatest, most momentous event in all the world. Satan trying to wipe out the testimony and the action and the purpose and the sacrifice of Christ in this world, and God giving Christ for that very the very purpose of a sacrifice. Little did Satan know that he was fulfilling God's greatest act in this world by killing Christ, because Christ then became a sacrifice for the sins of all. So the greatest event in the history of the world, or rather the most evil event in the history of the world, is also the greatest event in the history of the world. This is how God now employs evil to bring about good. Evil does not get transformed into good, but the consequences of evil become instruments in God's hands to bring about news of himself. Now, if that can happen, my friend, in the worst event of the history of the world, which became the best, can it not happen in your events, which can then become the best? Of course. The truth of the matter is that when God has foreseen us, he foreknew us, foreknown us, and predestined us, predetermined our ultimate salvation. When you believe that by faith in him, then everything is being worked out in your life to reveal himself. And therefore, your dreams that have become faded, your tragedies that have changed the course of your history, your disappointments, betrayals, and letdowns by loved one and friends, your frustrated financial goals that have spoiled your vision and service to God and your family. All of these, my friends, are working together for good for God to reveal himself to you and give you ultimate joy in the end. It is a stunning reality and something that Christians believe because Christ is victor. We will not accept that evil has the last word in this world or in this universe. We will not be pagans who believe that evil ultimately triumphs and that the world will fade away and that the sun will die and all humanity will die in 4 billion years or whatever the astronomers try to tell us. No, we won't believe that because we know that there is a creator at the center of the universe whose heart is full of love for the human race, and he will bring this world to its ultimate fruition, where the revelation of the sons of God are to be seen. That is your destiny, my friends, and that is why God turns all evil events, the effects of them, into good. Just a week and a half away from our seminar, my friends, on Saturday, the 25th of January, and a seminar with a difference, this quarterly seminar, starting at 10, finishing at 2, just 4 hours, and instead of 9, you know, till 3:30, the 6.5-hour seminar, and no break for lunch. Please bring your own lunch. Coffee and juice will be provided. Now, why is this? Well, why this different seminar? I'm trying to reach out to another group of people, perhaps a younger group as well, people that are not aware of the Faith Quest Perspectives ministry and this radio broadcast. And I'm hoping that you will invite your friends, invite your neighbors, invite some loved ones in your family, especially those that you might think are in need. And if you want, join me and we'll go out on the streets for an hour and somewhere near the Lakewood area there to distribute these flyers. Now, let me tell you what the flyer says. There's an old man here who could help you young guys and girls along with a thing or two. If you're using and can't stop, if you're into a habit that's harming you, your friends, your future, or if you've become disappointed in yourself and fear God might have given up on you, let this old man tell you a thing or two about Jesus and addiction. This isn't about Jesus saves, it's about how Jesus helps. You don't have to be religious. Come to understand yourself, learn what addiction really is, and how God can help you when you're addicted and feeling helpless or hopeless. Got to the place where you might be ready for this? Then spend a morning with me and expect the unexpected. So that's basically what the seminar flyer says, my friends. If you want some, call me at 303-738-8694. It's not too late, 303-738-8694. I'll send some flyers out to you so that you can distribute them. You know it's at La Quinta Inn, of course, 7190 West Hampden Avenue, South Frontage Road of Lakewood, Saturday the 25th of January. 10 till 2 now, remember. Bring your own lunch, coffee and juice provided. Now, friends, I hope you regulars will turn up because you are the backbone of this ministry financially, as you help with the seminars financially, and also you can be a comfort to those new ones. You can be a support to them. You can welcome them and make them feel at home. So please turn up too, because you also will be blessed. Jesus and addiction, we always have something new to say, you know, and always the old is always forever new when you think it through. So, my friends, I look forward to seeing you. Jesus and Addiction, Saturday, 25th of January, 10 o'clock in the morning till 2 in the afternoon. I'll see you there, and I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.